that comes out of our life is because Jesus is good. Amen. And so we give him the glory and honor. And we want to say thank you because Fair Havens has helped us through the years. You all have helped support the mission in different ways. And we see when you all send out the farmers, like, they're a blessing. When they come, just so you all know, they help in every way. We have a missions base. We call it a missions base there in Texas, Los Fresnos, Texas. Some of you know that area. And they help. And we just, there's a lot going on in the ministry, front line and behind the scenes. And when they come with servant hearts. And it's been a blessing. We appreciate all that you do. And we always look forward to having you back. This morning we have a presentation, and it gives you an overview of what United in Christ does. We started in Mexico in the year 2000, but now, by God's providence, it's in different places. We now serve throughout Mexico from one border to the Guatemalan border, so that's a big section in different states. We also now serve in India from Mexico and the U.S. We sent missionaries. The wife is Mexican, the husband's Indian, and then they have beautiful children that are Mexican-Indian. And so they're serving, and they opened up a home for children in India. And if you've seen anything about India, tremendous need in India for physical help, but also spiritual. So they're serving in India. About 6 years ago, Brother Chacho, who is not able to be with us, he's the other director. He sends his love. He is. We have a short time in Virginia, so he is sharing with another, some other church body, just to give an update and say thank you. But he sends his love, if you remember, Brother Chacho. So we, 6 years ago, were able to start work in Israel, in the country of Israel, in helping the needy and the poor, and also just showing Christ's love, because they still need to know Jesus as Messiah. So we're in Israel. And this year in May, by God's, again, guidance, we started in Brazil, so which was an amazing work. And there's three churches that are part of United in Christ. So the Lord has caused it to grow, and so we're serving in different places. And really, the vision is simple. It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said in the Great Commission. Go to all nations and make disciples. So that's the vision. And also the second part is to show the love of Christ to our neighbor. That's what Jesus said. The great commandment, love God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So we have projects of soup kitchens, different activities to help people. Love Homes is a home for children, at-risk children, like an orphanage. Soup kitchens, rehabilitation center for drug addicts, young people. We have a rehab for young people that are 15 to 17. And so there's different aspects of the ministry, but we want to show you some pictures so that'll give you more of a perspective of what United in Christ is doing. Here's the soup kitchen, one of the soup kitchens in South Mexico. And these are ethnic people groups, a tribal group. They speak other language. They do not speak Spanish as their first language. But beautiful children. I think children are beautiful around the world, right? Another soup kitchen. This is in Central Mexico. So the idea is always to help the physical need and through that share the gospel, the love of Christ. Because there is great needs. People need to know in a real way that God cares. So the soup kitchens really help us demonstrate that. This is right at the border of Matamoros, Mexico. And this is the home for children in Matamoros. I believe we have 13 children we're serving at Love Home. So each project in United in Christ has a pastor or director. So God has sent wonderful people to serve with the same heart of serving Christ and serving others. Some of the children. Now this is a rehab for specifically teens in central Mexico, Zacatecas. And these are teens coming out of drugs, prostitution, just very difficult situations. And even the government is dropping them off at the door of the rehab because of the need. And they've seen how the work is going and they've seen the results, you know, by God's grace. But it's amazing. They're young people. It's like they've lived a lifetime already, what their stories have gone through. But they really get to meet Jesus, and it's amazing to see. So as you probably have seen in the news, there's a huge issue at the border. And so on the Mexico side of the border, there are people, immigrants, their goal is to seek asylum. But many of them, as you know, do not make it. And they're just camping out right there on the border. So there's whole families. And our perspective, we understand that governments are in place by God. That's what the Bible says. But also, God loves every human. So there's a need here. So we help feed them. But we also are sharing the gospel to them. So and there we see ministering to some of the kids and some of the families. And there's even people from Africa. So these are the teams that come down, different church groups that come and help us. And Fair Havens came some years back. A group came. So we want to let you all know you are welcome to come whenever you want. We will have a sign-up sheet in the back. No, we're just kidding. Christmas with Jesus. This is a big project where we give gifts to all the children where we are personally working. So we know the kids, it's not just sending them out to kids, the kids we're working with. And so the churches in this United States help us and here have helped us to give a gift. And it's a practical demonstration of the love of God. And many of them do not get Christmas. It's just they don't have the means. And so it's a big deal for these children to receive a gift. And you see some of them. And here is India. And it's a project besides a church, they're working with children. Children that, again, are at risk in different situations, either in their home or abuse. And so the pastor and his wife there are taking care of these children. And here in Brazil, in May is when we went to Brazil. And there's the pastor and Brother Chacha. They speak another language. They speak Portuguese. We do not speak Portuguese. But they said if we speak it slow enough, they can understand it because it's very similar. And we could understand them because it's very similar, the words. So that's a little overview of United in Christ. And again, we thank you for your support, your prayers, and we do request your prayers because there's a lot happening. And we know, like the Bible says, when we're doing the work of God, the enemy, the devil, comes against God's people. That's what the Bible says, you know, and that's for all of us here in Virginia. In Mexico, in India, we need to pray for one another. The Bible tells us, pray one for another. So it's important. And so we ask for your prayers, and we will be praying for you all as well at Fair Havens. This morning, besides the mission presentation, when we knew we were coming here, we began to pray for God to give us a passage of Scripture to share with you. And God has put something in my heart to share. And I want to invite you, if you have your Bible, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 5 and 6. 5 and 6. It's a very well-known verse. Once we read it, you'll probably say, ah, I heard that before. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And in Mexico, what we say, if you found it, you could say amen. 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 So you can follow along. I will read, and I'm here. This is the New King James. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. A beautiful passage, and I think most of us have probably heard that before. But today we want to look at it phrase by phrase and see what God will speak to our lives. And I believe God's word will speak to each of us today. But before we enter in, let's say a prayer. Father God, we come in the precious name of Jesus Christ, your only Son. And Lord, we are here, your people, gathered in your presence, Lord. And we thank you. You said where two or more are gathered, there you are in the midst of us. So we believe that you are here. And we ask, Lord, by your Spirit, that you will teach us from your word, that our eyes would be open, that our minds would understand your truth and your word. And Lord, we ask also for your help to apply it to our lives, that you would give us grace to live out your word today. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5. It starts out, it says, trust in the Lord. Can we say that together? Trust in the Lord. This is what the scripture says. Trust in the Lord. Trusting in God is a basic element of being a Christian. This is like the baby step, the first step of being a Christian is that we have faith in God, that we trust Him. And it's interesting, trust has to do with something that we cannot see, we cannot touch. You cannot touch God, you cannot see Him, but your faith in your heart is that you believe in Him even though you do not see Him. In fact, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because we first have to believe that He exists, that He is real, and that we believe that He is a rewarder, that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. So even to start our relationship with God, we must trust Him. And for a lot of us, that's one of the most scary things in the world. Why? Because we've been hurt by people, because people have not told us the truth, and then we feel very guarded, and we're like, no, I'm not going to let somebody hurt me. And so we live life like that, but sometimes, even in our Christian life, we're like that with God. We're like, no, I won't give you this place in my life because it's an issue of trust. But here the scripture says, trust. This is our first step. Trust in the Lord. There is an example in the Bible of a man in the time of Jesus who had a real serious problem. His son was possessed by an evil spirit. So this man, of course, for care for his child, he comes to Jesus and he says, please, if you can do something, this evil spirit is going to destroy my child's life. And then he says this. Jesus said to him, and this is Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, just listen to this. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. You can imagine. He's in agony. My son is being taken over by this evil thing and I have no power. So he says, immediately he cried out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I always thought that this man, he says, Lord, I do believe you, but still there's this doubt. Still there's this little area I'm not fully able to trust. And what is amazing, this man's honesty and his sincerity, and Jesus saw his heart. That really this man wanted to believe, but he struggled. He had doubts. And he said, Lord, I do believe. And I find myself that I could identify with this man. That, Lord, I do believe you. Your Bible, your word says it, but I struggle. And what happened? He came honestly, sincerely before God. And what did Jesus do? Jesus took his prayer. And God answered that prayer. Jesus delivered, he healed that child. We can identify with that sometimes, that we do believe, but there's doubts. Lord, help me to believe. We can pray that too. But something about faith, when you really trust the Lord, when you really, from your heart, you believe God's promise, it opens doors that no man can shut. When you trust the Lord. There was an example in the time of Jesus, another example. There was two blind men, two men who wanted to recover their sight, but they heard that Jesus is walking by, Jesus is going to this house, and so somehow, as blind men, they find their way into the house where Jesus is at. And listen to this. Jesus said, when Jesus had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? So he asked these blind men, do you believe that I really can heal your sight? And just take that question for yourself. Jesus saying, do you believe and put whatever problem you're facing, whatever situation you're in, do you believe I am able to do this? That's what Jesus asked. Yes, Lord, they replied. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. That's pretty amazing to think. Like, if they weren't believing, they might not have been healed of their sight. And so we see that when we really have faith in God, God opens doors. God answers prayers. God does things that we in our own strength cannot do. The Word of God says today to us at Fair Havens, trust in the Lord. How many say amen to that? The second thing he says in Proverbs 3:5, God says, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. And reading that, the word all stuck out. A-L-L. What does all mean? All means everything. With all of your heart. How many have heard that saying, all in? It's sort of a trendy saying now. All in. And what comes to my mind, back in years ago, playing sports in high school, those who have played sports or even those who served in the military in a team or in a squad, like that idea of being all in, like we're totally committed to this as a high school football player. You get your team and you want to win. So you're like, we're all in. We're committed to doing our best for this cause. And so here's what God is saying is all in. Christianity is an activity that's we're all in. From God's perspective, if we say I'm a Christian, God is saying, okay, what you're saying is you're all in for Christ. And that's a challenge for us. God is saying it's an all in thing. He wants all of our heart. Jesus put it like this. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So there it is. God is saying, no, it's not a part of your heart. And I put it in practical times. It's like, no, it's not just Sundays that God wants my life. God wants my life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the whole week, 24/7. God wants our lives. So it's an all-in thing with Jesus Christ. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then the second part of verse 5 says, and lean not on your own understanding. And when we think of this, this is the exact opposite of trusting God, right? Trusting God is saying, God, you know, I don't know. God, you have the future in your hands. I can't control today. This is the opposite. If I'm trusting in my own understanding, my own ability, my own resource, you know what? I am super limited. And from God's perspective, he's saying, how silly you think you are, Mark. You think you really can do that? You can't make an inch grow in your stature. You don't know. There's so much. We are limited beings. And so if we're trusting ourselves, we're very limited. And in essence, if we're just thinking that I can do it or I'm strong enough or I am able, it's really what it is. It's pride before God. It's saying, God, I know better than you. You don't know. I know how to handle my situation. I know what I need to do. I know what this person needs. No, It says, trusting not on our own understanding, we're acknowledging him. You know, in the Old Testament, God had his people Israel. And sometimes Israel, when they were facing a challenge, instead of going to God and saying, God, help us, we are crying out to you. Sometimes they would say, you know what we need to do? We need to find a person to help us. We're going to get a country that makes an alliance. And so they went to another country, Egypt, the Bible talks about, and they made an alliance instead of trusting God. And I want to just read this passage. It says, Isaiah 31:1, what sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt, looking outside for help, trusting their horses, chariots, and charioteers, and depending on the strength of human armies, instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. God says, how sorrowful it is that you would trust in human beings, in your own strength, and not trust on God's strength, on God's ability, leaning not on our own understanding. Verse 6, Proverbs 3:6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. There's that word all. I don't think we can escape it. All. God is saying all. Not in sometimes acknowledge God. Not just like I mentioned. Not just on when there's church activity. But every day. All times. In all of our ways. We are to acknowledge God. And what does acknowledging God mean? It means to give God his proper place. And his proper place is number one in our life. That means our priority, first and foremost, is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much happening in the world, in our own lives, in work. There's so many things pulling our attention, pulling us in different directions. But God is saying, don't forget your number one priority. Don't forget who created you. Don't forget the one who gave his life for you. He is the number one priority in our life. Jesus said it like this. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. What if we put that into practice and said, you know what? I'm going to quit pursuing my own thing, my desires, or how I feel, and I'm going to put God's desire first. And when we do that, Jesus promised that all these things shall be added. Or in other words, all things will work out. And I can testify to that in my own life. I have seen such a drastic change in my own life when I began to say, God, you're number one. Jesus, I know I've got to make changes. And when I did and I put Jesus number one, wow, what a change. What a peace, Brother Linton meant. What a peace. There is peace when we follow his way. When we lay down our ways and we take up his ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It also refers to being obedient. Obedient to God. If we're going to acknowledge God in our life, that means we take the Bible as it is, God's word, and we obey it. If we just have it, you know, and say, well, that's nice. Sounds beautiful. I like to hear the word of God read, or I like to hear it preached. But if I don't obey it, it's sort of like I didn't hear it at all. The Bible says, be doers of his word and not just hearers. So obedience is what God asks for us, is that we will follow his word in all your ways. Acknowledge him. And when we do, And when we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, when we trust Jesus, as it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, when we obey and acknowledge God's word in our lives, verse 6, the end says, and he shall direct your paths, and he will make your paths straight. God will fix our future if we will obey his word, if we will trust him, if we obey him. Two simple concepts, trust and obey. Can we say that together? Trust and obey. This is what the Lord is asking of us. And if we do, God promises to bring blessing to our life. And again, I can testify to this. I've seen it. Not that I am perfect at it. Far from that. But even in our weak attempts, when I try and I fail, God is seeing our heart. He says, I see you, son. I see you, daughter. I know you're not getting it perfect, but my grace is there and you're doing it. And when we do that with that heart, God brings blessing. His blessing is abundant. He gives us more than, so much more than we deserve. It's quite amazing, but it's by trusting and obeying Jesus. And I want to end with this. There's a story in the Bible of a king in 2 Chronicles 20. His name was Jehoshaphat, if you remember that name. It's a different name. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. And as he's being king, one day he gets the word. His messengers come and they say, O king, there is a great multitude coming against you, coming against us, the land of Judah. There's three armies. It's not one military army. It's three of them. And what did Jehoshaphat do when he heard that word of attack? The Bible says he feared greatly. I think that's pretty natural. I think that would be my response as well. And it happens. Crisis comes suddenly. Tragedies happen in life, and we don't get a two-week notice saying, hey, you know what? In 2 weeks, there is something going to happen in your life. Jehoshaphat got that word, and it says he feared. He was anxious. I can identify with that. But what he did after that, it says he began to seek the Lord. He began to cry out to God, and he says, God, in front of all the people. It's funny, when things happen in life that are serious, all of a sudden our pride doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter what people are thinking of me, because I have a need of God. And if God doesn't answer, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's funny how pride just goes away and we're in serious need. And that's what happened to Jehoshaphat. He began to pray. And that's a good example for us. But I want to read this part, one part of his prayer, as he ended his prayer. And what he said in this one verse describes what we're talking about today. Trusting God and obeying God. 2 Chronicles 20:12. Listen to this. This is the prayer of Jehoshaphat. He says, O our God, will you not judge them? Talking about the enemies. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Wow. He says to God, God, we don't have the ability. He's humbling himself, saying, God, we don't know what to do. And he says, we don't have the strength. We don't have the resource. We don't have the internal strength even to face this big challenge. But he humbled himself before God. And then he says, But our eyes are upon you, God. We're not trying to resolve this in our own strength. We're not trying to figure it out with our own wisdom. We're not trying to be smarter than the others. No, our eyes are on you, God. What an example for us in our daily Christian life that we would say, God, I don't know, but I do know you and I do trust you. And my eyes are upon you and I'm ready to do whatever you tell me to do. Being led by God, letting God's word guide our steps. It says, and he will make your path straight. The end of the story of Jehoshaphat, God told Jehoshaphat, you won't have to fight this battle. How beautiful is that? You won't have to fight it. Amen. Amen. He said, you just go out and present yourself. Go out to the battle line, but I'm going to fight these guys. And when he got out there, it says they were so confused, three armies, that they started killing each other until the last men, the two last soldiers, killed each other and they wiped out this army. All the people of God had to do was go just claim the victory, get the spoils of the battle. That's the end of the story with Jehoshaphat. God is saying he will make our path straight if we will trust him, if we will obey him. Amen. Can we close with a prayer? Close your eyes. I invite you to bow your heads. Let's pray. Father God, we are here in your presence. And Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that we are here today healthy, to be in the house of God, to be here at Fair Havens. Lord, we are grateful today with our hearts. And Father, we are thankful that you have given us your word to guide us in our daily life, in the practical things of life. You have given us your instruction, your truth. And so we pray for each one of us today, Lord, that grace would be released in our lives, that we would come to a place of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, that it would be more than just words, but that it would be a life lived trusting you. And Father, we are here to acknowledge you, Lord, that we do not know what to do. But our eyes are set upon you, God. Lord, we believe you are faithful to lead us. You are our shepherd. We are your sheep. And you have promised to guide us in your paths. Lord, may you be glorified in each life. May your spirit minister to each heart today. Bring comfort where comfort is needed. Lord, bring peace where peace is needed. Lord, bring strength, Lord, where strength is needed by the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless your people. Lord, we speak a blessing over this church. Lord, may your will be done. May your kingdom come here at Fair Havens for the glory and honor of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you all.